I'd like to read a very short passage of scripture from Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, and starting at verse 11. It's on page 1251, if you've got the same translation as I have. Luke chapter 17 and verse 11. And it came to pass, as he was going up to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, 10 leprous men met him, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voice, saying, Jesus, Master, have compassion on us. And seeing them, he said to them, Go, show yourselves to the priests. And it came to pass, as they were going, they were cleansed. And one of them, seeing that he was cured, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and fell on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus, answering, said, Were not the 10 cleansed, but the 9, where are they? They have not been found to return and give glory to God, save this stranger. And he says to him, Rise up and go thy way. Thy faith has made thee well. Perhaps it was a bit of an easy option picking this scripture in light of the current climate that we are. But this passage of scripture came before me this week about these men that were healed. And we often read in our newspapers and we see in our news at the moment very negative stories of second waves and lockdowns and all sorts of things that perhaps worry us and perhaps fill us with a sense of trepidation. But we have here in this passage somebody, the Lord Jesus, who is able to bring in healing. And tonight, dear friend, in the message of the gospel, God is able to heal you, not necessarily from the physical ailments that we might have, but something that is far deeper, something that runs far deeper in our hearts and our souls. And God is able to cleanse us from the curse and, if you like, the disease of sin that we all as human beings come under. We hear a lot about COVID in the news, as you can hardly read anything or see anything without that word coming up at some point. And this passage here is talking about another disease, perhaps possibly far worse than COVID. This one here in this passage talks about 10 leprous men. And if you look through the Bible, you see time and time again that leprosy, this disease that was very much prevalent in biblical times, is a very clear indication, a very clear picture of sin itself, indwelling sin. And it's something that crops up all the way through Scripture. You look in the passages that refer to the children of Israel. Moses had a leprous hand, and Miriam was cursed with leprosy, and there's Naaman, and then there's several passages in the Gospels where somebody who had leprosy turns up, and especially in the Gospels, you get the Lord coming in this wonderful healing, and they're made well. And we have that here with these 10 leprous men, and particularly, we'll come to him later, this one man that returns, and the Lord is able to say, Rise up, go thy way, thy faith has made thee well. But while leprosy affected maybe a small proportion of the people in biblical times, what it pictures, as I said, sin is something that is infected every single human being. From the moment that Adam sinned in the garden to the moment we find ourselves here in 2020, every single person has come under the curse, has this disease, has this awful evil way of being. The Bible talks about the heart being evil, and who can know it? We have, dear friends, something that defines us as a human race, and that is that we've all come under the penalty and curse of sin. And dear friend, nobody in this room tonight has been accepted from that. There is nobody here tonight that can say they are exempt from coming under this curse. Dear friend, the Bible is very clear, and your own hearts would lay testament to the fact that, dear friend, tonight you must come to the knowledge that you are a sinner before a holy God. You can look around the world today and you can compare yourself to people that you read about in the news or people in history, and you can compare yourself to people that you go to work with, and you can think that because you go to church or perhaps you read your Bible, that somehow you're on a better footing than they are. But dear friends, sin is the great leveler. We've all sinned and come short of God's glory, because it's no use comparing yourself to another sinner. It's no use comparing yourself to somebody that you know at work or school. Dear friends, we are comparing ourselves to the perfection that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we find that we fall short. There is no question, dear friend, and if we're honest in our hearts, that we are sinners. You think of the things that you've thought about and said and done today, yesterday, this week, and however long you've lived. We barely go through a moment of each day without having something wrong in our hearts. We say something wrong, we think something wrong, we do something wrong. The debt, dear friend, that we are accumulating gets bigger and bigger each day. And as I said, while leprosy in biblical times affected maybe a small proportion, sin, dear friend, is something that is universal and something that is very much attached to the human race. Every single person in this room and in this world tonight comes underneath this terrible title of being called a sinner. And dear friend, there is no cure. There was no cure, natural cure at least, in Bible times for leprosy. The way that lepers were healed, there was God came in grace and in mercy and healed. He healed Naaman, healed Miriam, and the Lord Jesus healed many people in the gospel times. But dear friends, I think the Lord says that when he was talking about leprosy, that only Naaman was healed. And it was an unknown thing for leprosy to be healed. And dear friend, tonight, when we're looking at this picture of leprosy as a picture of sin, there is no cure naturally for sin. There is nothing, dear friend, that you can do. There is nothing, dear friend, that you can possibly do that can in any way even begin to take away one of those sins that you've committed. There is no good work that you can do that can balance out the equation. There is no education or knowledge that you can go and undertake to sort of begin to think about how you can take the great guilt that you have on your conscience away. There's nothing that comes from sorrow or remorse that can begin to take the sins in your heart and in your life away, dear friend. There's nothing that you can do that is of your own volition that can even begin to touch even one of the sins that you have committed in your life. What it needs, dear friend, is a healing touch from the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he, dear friend, is the only one that is qualified to take away the sins of those that put their faith and trust in him. There's nobody else. For the whole history of time, there's about, 7 billion people on this planet at the moment, and I don't know how many people have lived throughout all the ages, but there's one man who was qualified because he was God's son to come as that intermediary and to come and stand and to die on that cross at Calvary so that, dear friend, tonight God can move out towards you in blessing. There was no other man that was qualified except the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's the gospel concerning God's son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the good news about the Lord Jesus. I don't want to preach about anybody else. I want you to focus your attention entirely on this, the main character in this story, which is the Lord Jesus. Throughout the whole of the Bible, everything points to Christ. And dear friend, that is the way that God would have it tonight. There's nobody else, nobody qualified, nobody even near enough qualified to begin to take away the sin that is in your life except the Lord Jesus Christ. And dear friend, the terrible end point of sin, if you like, is death. You look around the world today and you can almost trace everything that's bad back to sin. Every single thing that you look around this world today can find its roots in sin. And sin ultimately, dear friend, leads to death. It says the wages of sin is death. It says somewhere else, Ezekiel, I think, that about the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That was what God said in the garden to Adam and Eve when they took of the fruit. In that day you will surely die. And dear friend, that is the solemn end point, if you like, of sin in our lives. That we, dear friend, are dead. And we're dead to God, first of all. But it brings in actual physical death as well, dear friends. You look around the world today, millions and millions of people die on a daily basis. And dear friend, it is because sin. And dear friend, the sin in your life has made you spiritually dead towards God as well. There is nothing, dear friend, in your life that God, that can answer to God. But we have here this person, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is able to bring in new life and is able to give you a new heart, a new creation, and make you a new person so that you, dear friend, are able to enter into all the blessings that God desires, wants to, and would love to bestow upon you tonight, dear friend. So we have this leprosy. It's a picture of sin. There is no cure. And we have these 10 leprous men here, and they met him. And it's interesting that they started off, it says they stood afar off. And dear friend, that is our starting point when we come to the realization of how we stand before God. It says that we are far away from God. There is nothing, dear friend, about us that is able to bring us any closer to God. We talked a little bit about Adam and Eve in the garden. And at that moment when they sinned, a great divide came between God's creature, human beings, and himself because of sin. We cannot approach God of our own volition. We cannot approach God by ourselves. That great divide has come in because of sin. And so these men here stood afar off. Why can't we approach God? Because God is a holy God. God is a righteous God. God can't just allow sin and sinners into his presence as they are. We read so many times, and particularly in the Old Testament, about the holiness of God, about the perfection of God. And dear friend, tonight, God is a holy and a righteous God, and he cannot allow sin into his presence. And dear friend, if you stood before God with all your sins, you wouldn't want to be in his presence. Isaiah talks about how he was, early on in Isaiah, talks about how he was, I'll see if I can find it and quote it properly. But he says, "Woe unto me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King." You know, dear friend, if hypothetically you were able to enter into God's presence as a sinner, you would be the most uncomfortable person that ever lived. You would not be able to stand in God's presence because of your sins. And yet, dear friend, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you come to know him as your personal Savior, you're able to come into his presence. You're able to come into God's presence. And not only that, but you're able to come into this wonderful near relationship and know God as a Father. But for the moment, while you stand in your sins, this great divide has been set, and you stand afar off, and you cannot approach God. And yet God has not looked at the sinners of this world. God has not looked at you as a hopeless case. God has looked at you. God has looked at me. And he has said that they can't do anything from their side. I must do something from mine. And so in God's great love and in God's great grace, he has sent his son into this world so that he could bring men to him. And you have this that wonderful hymn, don't you, that God has regarded my helpless estate. You get the Lord here. It says, and seeing them, he said to them, God has looked on you tonight and not seen you as a hopeless case. God didn't look at the human race as something that he could quite conceivably come in judgment. But dear friend, because of his grace and because of his love, he sent his beloved son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world. It says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Dear friend, what a wonderful gift, what a wonderful expression of grace and love it was in the giving of the Lord Jesus Christ. God saw our hopeless case, and he sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the greatest, sometimes being called the greatest rescue mission there ever was, to claim back what was rightfully his, to give us an opportunity to come into blessing. And tonight, dear friend, that blessing is open to each and every person in this hall tonight. The sins that you feel weighing down on your soul, if you're honest with yourself, can be washed away in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why can that happen? Because it says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. We spoke about God being a holy God. And God cannot just, if you like, wipe sin away by brushing it under the carpet or ignoring it. Dear friend, it requires a sacrifice. And that sacrifice was the perfect and precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That man that we read about in this passage here in Luke 17 was on his way to the cross at Calvary. In not many chapters' time, You'll see the account of him dying on that cross at Calvary. And it's no, it would be no good if the gospel stopped just describing the Lord's life. Dear friend, the gospel has to include the cross, the death, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, because those are the center points of what, if you like, allows God to come out in blessing tonight. It's the cross, dear friend. It's that death of the Lord Jesus Christ that is the basis and the foundation of our blessing. It's the basis and foundation of why I can know with absolute assurance that my name has been written down in the book of life. I'm not standing on anything that I've done. I'm not standing on somebody else's word that they say I'm good enough. You can stand on the solid rock that is the perfect and precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And nothing else for God will do. When he saw that blood, another picture in Exodus, you get when the blood was put on the doorposts and the lintels. It says, when I see the blood, I will pass over. The judgment won't fall on me, dear friend. The judgment for my sin won't fall on me because it already fell on the head of the Lord Jesus Christ. And dear friend, you can have the same blessing tonight by resting and having your assurance on that precious blood. Looking at that man dying on that cross at Calvary, knowing that that was done for you. That was the death that you deserved. That was the punishment that you deserved. And yet God in his love sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die on your behalf. It's while we were sinners, Christ died for us. While we had nothing going for us, while we were this hopeless, helpless case, God sent his Son into the world so that we can come into blessing. And dear friend, tonight, that opportunity is available to each and every one of us. So we've got the Lord here, and he says, seeing them. And then he says, go, show yourself to the priests. And then it came to pass that they were going, that they were cleansed. And one of them, seeing that he was cured, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice, and fell on his face at his feet. Look at the difference, dear friend. When we were sinners, we had to stand afar off. And yet, dear friend, when you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, where does this leper find himself? He finds himself at his feet. And dear friend, that can be your portion tonight. We're no longer barred from the presence of God because of our sin. When you come to know Christ as your Savior, when your sins are wiped away, when you're given a new heart, when you're given the Holy Spirit to indwell you, you can come into the presence of God. You can know him as Father. The Old Testament, again, there was a great big veil that was put in front of the Holy of Holies. And it meant that people couldn't go in, and it also meant that God couldn't come out. But when the Lord died on that cross, it says the veil was rent from the top to the bottom. The way is now open, dear friend. God bursts out in love and grace towards us. And dear friend, we are able to go in tonight into his very presence, the presence of God, a holy and a righteous God. How can that be? Because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I stand in God's presence tonight, not in my own worth, but in the worth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And dear friend, what a wonderful thing it is to know that my salvation, my eternal security, doesn't rest on me, but it rests on the perfect work and the perfect person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why, dear friend, we can be assured of our salvation. You hear this nonsense about saved today and lost tomorrow. Dear friend, no such thing. If you come to know Christ as your Savior, that's it for time and for eternity. You can be assured, dear friend, that he is your Savior for now, and he will be your point of worship, and he will be your King, and he will be your Lord for all eternity. Dear friend, what a wonderful privilege it is to come to know that person, the Lord Jesus Christ, like this leper did here. He came back and he glorified God and he fell on his face at his feet. And dear friend, what a wonderful thing it is to not only know that your sins have been forgiven, but also that you can come and you can worship God and you can enjoy that relationship that you now have started with God. You see, when you're saved, that is just the start of a relationship. That is just the start of your Christian pathway. That is just the start of your journey down here. God would love dear friend. And God desires, and God has made provision for every single person to be saved here tonight from the penalty of sin, from hell, from damnation. But dear friend, God has also put provision in place so that we can spend the rest of our lives down here in worship, in praise, and in work for Him, dear friend. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us God Himself indwelling inside of us. He's given us a new heart, a new life, a new perspective, a new focus, a new destiny, so that, dear friend, we can live our lives down here, working, living for Him. Newness of life, dear friend. We've left our old way behind. This leper here, he would have had to have, at the beginning, lived in a colony by himself. He'd have had to have gone around saying that he was unclean, unclean. But what a change had happened in his life. He was no longer the same person. And dear friend, it's the same for you. Your old life have been left behind. And dear friend, you are now a new creation. You've been given a new heart. And your rest of your time here, dear friend, is for living for Christ and for whatever God would have you to do. And then when you leave this earth, dear friend, you have the absolute assurance that you are going to be with Christ forever in eternity. Whether you leave this earth, dear friend, for the veil of death, or as we're all hoping and expecting for, that one day the Lord Jesus will return and to gather together all those that have come to know Him as Saviour, all His church will gather together in one moment, and He will take us all those that have put their faith and trust in Him, to be with Him forever in eternity. He's gone and made provision, and in the meantime, dear friend, dear believer, we're here to work and we're here to live for Him. He says, go thy way, thy faith has made thee well. What a wonderful word of encouragement it was at the end here. He went His way. When we come to know the Lord Jesus, He doesn't take us away immediately. We're left on this earth, and we're left here for a purpose, dear friend. We're left here so that we can, as I said, God wants to put us to work. God wants us to become more like Christ. God wants us to show the fruit of the Spirit in our daily lives. God wants us to witness about what the Lord Jesus has done in our lives to those that we come across. And dear friend, God wants us to show that in our hearts there has been a difference made by the Lord Jesus Christ. And as this man was found here, God would have us be worshippers as well. It's a wonderful thing, you know, to come to know Christ as Saviour and as Lord. And it's a wonderful thing further to be able to worship and praise Him as well, to thank Him for everything that He's done, to worship Him for everything that He is. And I know that in situation, the conditions we find ourselves in now, we're perhaps missing the breaking of bread and things like that. But God would still have us to be worshippers. God would still have us to be thankful for everything that He's done. And dear friend, for the rest of our time down here, we have a wonderful opportunity to be able to do all the things because of the power of the Holy Spirit inside of us that God would have us to do. And so I don't really have too much else to say about this. We just have this wonderful story here of these men, and particularly this one man here who was unclean at the beginning, came into contact with the Lord Jesus Christ and left a completely new, cleansed and healed man. And dear friend, that's the experience that I want you to have tonight personally. To know that you're sitting here, dear friend, as a sinner. That if God looked at your life tonight, He would have to rightly and justly say that you are a sinner. And yet, dear friend, when you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, He is able to look at you the same way He looks at His beloved Son. He's able to let you enter into His presence and to ultimately and eternally spend forever and eternity with Him, worshipping Him and praising Him. What a wonderful hope we have as Christians. What a wonderful God we have that is full of grace and love. A God that would desire tonight, dear friend, you to come into blessing. The Lord Jesus went through in the Gospels, and He's often seen with crowds of people. And yet most of the Gospel passages when it comes to healing, in fact, I think nearly all of them involve individuals. And dear friend, tonight, God is interested in you as an individual. God is interested in you sitting on your seat here in Worthing tonight. God is interested in everything that you are as a person. God is interested in you, and He wants you to come into blessing. He knows, dear friend, that you have nothing to offer Him, but He has the Lord Jesus Christ and the blessings and the wonderful way of salvation. He wants to bring that before you tonight and to give you the opportunity tonight to come to know the Lord Jesus as your personal Saviour. And so, dear friend, I pray that we may find ourselves like this one man at the end, turning back, glorifying God with a loud voice, falling on our face at his feet, and giving him thanks. What a wonderful thing it would be tonight, dear friend, if that was the character of your heart, coming back to God and giving him thanks for everything that he's done. For his name's sake. Amen.